Thank you, Cynthia. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 4. The Apostle Paul had been dealing in the first three chapters with the prideful Israelites and reminding not only them that their ritual of circumcision and their obedience to the law did not gain them favor with God like they thought, and that all have sinned, Jew and Gentile, and come short of the glory of God. And that the only way they could gain God's favor was by faith. God would grant them His righteousness. And in chapter 4, the early verses of it, he begins to use the Old Testament example of Abraham of being justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And he even reminds them that Abraham exercised faith even before he was circumcised. That was an outward ritual that set apart the children of Israel. And they used that as a means of saying, hey, we're better than everybody else. But he said, no, it's by faith you're to live and not by some ritual or by obedience to the law. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, even in the Old Testament. And he said that Abraham claimed it by faith. He stood on the promises of God. What are we standing on today? Are you standing on the promises of God today? If there's ever a time when we needed to be standing on the promises of God, it is today. Listen to what he said beginning in verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, how now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sakes also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Abraham never doubted that God would fulfill his promise. Abraham's life was marked by mistakes, sins, and failures, as well as by wisdom and goodness. But he consistently trusted God. His faith was strengthened by the obstacles that he faced, and his life was an example of faith in action. If he had looked only at his own resources in subduing Canaan and founding a nation, he would have given up in despair. But Abraham looked to God, obeyed him, and waited for God to fulfill his word. We've heard it said a lot of times, it seems like our nation's in constant political mode. And you hear some of those who are running for public office say, I stand on my record. But some of them haven't missed their record because I don't think they have much of a record to stand on. But listen, you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to have a record that we can stand on. And that record is to be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and trusting in the Word of God. Our faith stands on the record of what God has done, on the record of promises that He has kept. That's why John, writing in John 20, 31, said, "These are written that you may believe." Written about what? In the Word of God, concerning the promises of God. Faith is not inherited, nor does it come by accident. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God and discovering that God keeps His promises. Faith is standing on the promises of God. But I would ask this question to all of us. How strong is our faith today? How strong is our faith in God? Are we ready to put God's Word to the test? Can we really trust God's Word? What do you really believe about the Bible? What do you really believe about God's Word? Is it God's inerrant Word that you can trust it totally and completely? Do you really believe it? Then why aren't we acting on it the way we should? The Bible is a book filled with the promises of God to His people. It has been calculated that there are at least 30,000 promises in the Word of God. While this figure may seem extravagant, we must recognize that there are hundreds of promises that have been made that any of us have failed to recognize and claim. I stand there myself. As I prepare, this message is just as much for me as it is anybody else. Because I realize there are many precious promises that I have not yet claimed by faith that we need to be claiming. Romans chapter 4 tells us that the secret of Abraham's spiritual achievements is to be found in his recognizing and clinging to the promises of God. He did not stagger back because of the mystery or the miracle of the divine plan for his life. Abraham was fully convinced that God was both able and willing to accomplish all that he had promised. I pray that God will grant to us the insight to discover some of the precious promises and the faith to claim them. Colin Urquhart said this, and I quote, "God is the God of promise. He keeps His Word, even when that seems impossible, even when the circumstances seem to point to the opposite." Mount Episcopal Baptist Church, this is where we are, is it not? Particularly concerning our debt. Impossible for us to meet that, but not impossible with Almighty God if we'll simply believe and trust in Him. That God has a plan, God has a way to see us through. And we're going to have to believe in that and trust in Him by faith. The promises of God are like a personal check someone has given to us. All we have to do is cash it in. To cash it in is to endorse it by an obedient faith. I cannot cover all of these promises, but I simply want to remind us this morning of some basic truths about the promises of God and challenge us to embrace His promises by faith. So what are some of the basic truths about the promises of God that we can cash in today? First of all, there is the promises for the present. This has to do with God's presence among us. Do you believe that He is here? That He is the omnipresent God? That He is everywhere here? There's no place that you can go that God is not already there? He was here before we came this morning. He's already showed up. But we need to understand something about the promises. The promises are granted through faith. Look at Abraham. Abraham was given the promise that he would be the heir of the world. Five times in Psalm 37, David spoke of Israel as inheriting the land and dwelling there forever. This promise was not given to Abraham in the context of obedience to the law. It had its roots in faith. What promises they were. Think about it. The promise to Abraham was many descendants. That was a promise from God. He would have many descendants. What? More than the sand of the sea. That would be the possession of the land. What a promise that land he was going to give to them. That he would be the medium of blessing to all people, not just to the Israelites. Paul declares that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God. He had no hesitancy, but trusted God wholeheartedly. Someone said this, and I quote, "God makes a promise. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it. Patience quietly awaits it." Think about it. Folks, it took a great faith for Abraham to claim this present promise from God, the promise that he would be the father of many and of many nations. Think about that. The promise remains, however, we need to understand, an act of grace. It is not based on obedience to the law. Faith is the response that makes the promise effective in a specific case. Neither is it based on our merit. Faith is helplessness, reaching out in total dependence upon God. We are like that old, I'm afraid too many of us are like that old country song. Don't need any help, don't need any help. I can handle this job all by myself. No, we can't. And we just as well to humble ourselves before God and admit that we can't. There are a lot of things we can't handle. We try to. We'll do all that we can with God's help and God's strength. But when it comes down to the bottom line, we need to learn to trust totally and completely in Almighty God. The promise remains an act of grace. God's promises flow from His nature as one who desires the very best for those He created. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 34 and 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Folks, He's been better to me than I could ever deserve. God is so good. He's good to all of us. And His goodness should lead us not only to repentance, but to faith and trust in Him. God's good to us. We take His blessings so for granted. Many of the promises God made long ago are for those who live in the present, if we will simply recognize them and claim them by faith. There are very few promises made by God to His people in the past that have no relevant application for the present. God does not change with the passing of time. What He was yesterday, He is today. What He did for His people yesterday, He will do for us today. When we study the Word of God, we should place ourselves in the middle of the action and identify with the biblical characters when such is appropriate. One of the great promises of God that is relevant to today is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Listen to what He said. "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What greater promise could anybody have than that? No matter where we go, no matter what we face, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter what high mountain we have to climb, God is there with us. And we sometimes forget that. We need to be reminded of that in the uncertain days in which we find ourselves, days in which we are facing an all-out assault on our Judeo-Christian values. We need to understand we can trust God and His Word. Think about Abraham. Every day he got up, Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going. God says, "I want you to go." He said, "I'll go." And every day he had to get up by faith. "Lord, I'm ready to follow you. Show me." Isn't that the way we should approach life? "Lord, it's a new day you've given to me. I thank you for it. God, I need your help today. Guide me. Guide my footsteps. Direct me in the direction you want me to go so that I might honor you in all that I do." I know we have our plans. We have things laid out for us. We have jobs and everything else. But we still, in that day, even in the normal circumstances of life, in the affairs of life, we still need the guidance of God on a daily basis. He wants to guide us and direct us. Like, you know, when a photographer goes into a dark room, he goes in there in that dark room to develop a picture that he's taken. He goes into that dark room because he wants to have the most beautiful picture that he can have. Well, listen, God allows you and me to go through dark times because He is trying to develop a beautiful image of the Lord Jesus Christ in you and me. And we must not forget that. We need the assurance and promise of God's presence. I want to remind you, folks, we have it. He's promised never to fail us nor forsake us. When God promised to forgive and cleanse from sin in the past, we can be safe in assuming that we can claim the same promise in the present if we meet the conditions and sincerely repent. as God promised to guide in the past, so He promises to guide in the present. If we are sensitive to listen and willing to respond, God will continue to guide us today. Abraham didn't know the way, but he knew the guide. And he sought His guidance on a daily basis. Someone said, God wants to bring us beyond the point where we need signs to discern His guiding hand. Listen, we need that today. Do we need a sign just to follow God? No, we need to get up every day and by faith to follow Him, to step out by faith. Something we need to understand. The devil cannot counterfeit the peace of God or the love of God dwelling in you and me. When the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, His abiding presence is in us, it becomes our guide. Then guidance becomes an almost unconscious response to the gentle moving of His Holy Spirit within us. In the face of all the promises that God gives us, the greatest promise is the promise of His presence with us. Exodus 15:13 declares this, "In your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed." There's a hymn that we sing. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Wherever I go, whatever I do, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand, He leadeth me." We sometimes forget that, don't we? So easy to realize He's there with us to lead us and guide us. What precious promises we have for the present. But listen, that's not all. We have precious promises for the future. Look at what he said in verses 19 and 20. "Without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." You see, the Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded that God's power would match his promise. He faced the fact that he and Sarah were beyond the age of bearing children. Yet he never wavered in his confidence in the promise of God. I know it's true that he fell to the ground and laughed at the idea of having a son at his age. And Sarah was kind of amused too, I understand. But that didn't qualify as a departure from faith. I thought about that myself. I don't know if I'd have laughed or fainted. It's just come my way at my age. But Abraham didn't waver. He simply chose to believe God. Dr. Robert Muntz in his New American Commentary points out that God does not expect you and me to blandly assume the miraculous. It was a ridiculous idea to Abraham, but he believed it anyway. Instead of wavering, his faith was strengthened through the ordeal. He trusted God that the age of about 100 and Sarah around 90, that they would have a child. His faith rose to the occasion and he gave glory to God. He praised Him for who He was and what He would do. A promise for the future. That's what he was looking at. Think about his age. "I'm going to give you a host of descendants." That was a promise for the future. Are we confident? Are we confident in the all-sufficient power of God ourselves? Do we really believe that where God is present, there is nothing that lies outside the realm of possibility? The Church of Jesus Christ is in desperate need of those who would insist that God is able to bring to pass anything that is consistent with His nature and in concert with His redemptive purposes and is according to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. I'm afraid that your God is too small as a sad epitaph inscribed in all too many churches who claim to worship the Almighty. What about it, Mount Pisgah? How big is our God? How big is your God? Is He the God who you believe who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or to even think? I know that we are frightened by change, but listen. The only thing certain about the future is the fact of change. It's been said that the only person that likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. I'm afraid that's true in too many churches. We just don't want to change anything. I'll never change the Word of God. It's settled forever in heaven. It's truth without any mixture of error. It's inerrant, and I'll continue to proclaim it as God gives me breath. But sometimes we may have to change some of our methodologies to reach people, folks. And we need to understand that. But are we trusting in the Word of God? It's been said that change is going to happen, and it's happening every day. Nothing will be exactly the same tomorrow. In a world that moves so fast, in a time when mankind has unlimited destructive power, it's easy to understand why many people are fearful as they face the future. On all sides, there's a constant increase in anxiety and insecurity. Even in the midst of affluence that we're experiencing now, there's still uncertainty and insecurity in our land because of what we see taking place. Look at what has happened in this country. People being slaughtered senselessly. I grew up in a time when we rarely ever locked our doors at home when I grew up. We could go off all day long and never lock a door and not worry about anything being gone when we came back. But brother, you better not do it now. We're living in some uncertain days, even in the midst of such economic growth. But as believers, we can be assured that in a changing world, we worship an unchanging God. The promises that He has made will surely be kept. God is trustworthy. God is dependable. We need to discover the many precious promises concerning God's abiding presence and His providential care if we are to face each tomorrow with confidence and with cheer. Listen to some of the promises in the Word of God. Listen to Psalm 46, one of the most beautiful psalms in all the Word of God. I'll read some selected passages. You're familiar with it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The psalmist also said in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We're going to walk some lonely days. We're going to walk some days when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But the psalmist has said, declared, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's presence. No believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will ever die alone. May not be a human person there, but God will be with them and walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus said, reminds us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus declared, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. One day, according to Revelation 21, they're going to see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, adorned as a bride for her bridegroom. One day, when death comes our way, we have a glorious future. One day, if we remain faithful unto Him, we'll walk up to those gates of pearl, and we hear these words from our Lord Himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord. Think about it. We'll look at those beautiful jasper walls. Walk down those streets of gold. Walk down to the river of the life. Walk up to the tree of life that yields its fruit, all 12 manner of fruits every month of the year. We'll eat of that precious fruit, and then we'll bow down and sing holy, 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 just to get started for a million years, praising God for the fulfillment of His promise that we have a home in heaven, eternally secure with Him. What greater promises could we have? How in the world can we live in despair when we have His precious promise. What a promised future we have. One day we shall behold Him. We're going to see Him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what shall it be? When in rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. What a future. What a promise that is ours. Oh, but there are other promises. Promises for His children. He says so in verse 21. Following. He is assured what God has promised. He was able also to perform. You see, God will do what He promised. Verse 21 is an ideal example of what it means to believe in God. It is complete confidence in His ability and God's integrity. God has the power and does what He promises. How could He do less and still be God? Faith is total surrender to the ability and willingness of God to carry out His promises. The proper question for us to ask is not can God, but the question should be will God. Will God is the question that drives us in prayer ever closer to His heart. Paul said, I'm fully persuaded of what He's promised. He is able also to perform. What did Paul say earlier? I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You see, fully persuaded leaves no room for any doubt. Calls for complete surrender to the power and the goodness of Almighty God. You see, we need to understand something. God desires to bless us and enrich our lives. His divine promises were not given to deceive us or to encourage false expectations. The heart of the loving Heavenly Father moves toward us constantly with purposes of grace. His every intention toward you and me is for our good. And for His glory. A study of the Bible and Christian history will reveal that those who have been used mightily by God were those who claimed the promises of God by faith and moved forward depending on God to do as He had promised. The margin of the Bible of D.L. Moody had the letters T and P on almost every page. When he was questioned about what this meant, he replied that the passage contained a promise from God to His children. The T indicated that he had tried the promise, and the P indicated that the promise had proven true in his own experience. How many times could those letters appear in the margin of your Bible? In a worship service, one Sunday, a song leader stopped the congregation in the middle of the song, standing on the promises. He asked people to volunteer some promises in which they were standing. One said, Lo, I'm with you always. Another quoted, The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Still another said, Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. Soon dozens of promises had been quoted. And then when the singing started again, there was a marked increase in the enthusiasm. And there must have certainly been a marked increase in understanding. What promises of God are you standing on today? Think about it. What promise of God are you standing on? What promise of God can you claim today? Think about it. Think about it. Joshua 21:45 reminds us, Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Psalm 20, verse 7 declares, Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen to further precious words from the Word of God. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3. The psalmist says, Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You talk about a promise? What greater promise could anybody desire? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. What a precious promise. One of my favorite life verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He'll make your path straight, is what it's saying. Trusting in God. Trusting in God. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Hebrews 10:23 declares, he is faithful that promised. Folks, I could spend all day and the rest of the week talking about the promises of God and not exhaust them all. They are ours. Precious promises for his children. But that's not all. There are also some promises to the unsaved. He talks about it. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 23, 24, 25. The Bible contains many promises from the redeeming Father to those who are unsaved, to those who are lost. One of the precious promises is forgiveness. Forgiveness is promised on condition of repentance, turning away from sin. There's a promise of eternal life to those who by faith make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. There's a promise of acceptance by the Father to all who will come to the Savior. There's deliverance from the power of sin that is promised to those who will break with the love of sin and come to Him who conquered death and the grave. Promises to the lost people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's a promise stated clearly in the Word of God. H.G. Salter said this, every promise of God is built upon four pillars. Number one, God's justice and holiness, which will not allow Him to deceive. Number two, His grace or goodness, which will not allow Him to forget. Number three, His truth, which will not allow Him to change. Number four, His power, which makes Him able to accomplish. I would remind all of us, however, the promises of God are conditional. They are conditioned only by our faith and faithfulness. God is true. He is no liar. We can count on Him. So I would challenge us to put our faith in His promises and let the experience of your daily walk verify that you really believe. To the lost person, when you believe, an exchange takes place. You give Christ your sins, and He gives you righteousness and forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Only through Christ can we secure His righteousness. What an incredible bargain that is free to all of us. Believe and be saved. Believe and have your sins forgiven. But for those of us who are walking in faith, I will remind you in the words of Kelso Carter, that beautiful old hymn, standing on the promises of God. Listen to the words of it. We need to claim them today like never before. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. I simply want to ask you. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe in a terrible time in your life. We all walk through some valleys of difficulty, heartbreak, heartache, pain, difficulties, confusion, doubt. But I want to tell you something. Turn it over to God because He loves you. He will be your guide. He'll be your help. He'll be your comfort. He'll be your peace. He'll be your strength. He'll give you wisdom. Anybody likes wisdom, ask, and He'll give it freely. He'll not rebuke you. You need assurance, He'll give it to you. If you need the assurance of salvation, certainly He will give it to you. If you need help for daily living, He will give it to you. Why? Because you can stand on the promises of God. What are you standing on? Standing on self or on the promises of God? You're standing on self. Lay it down. Come to the altar and say, Lord, I've been depending on me too long. Now all I can do is depend upon You. So I want to stand on the promises of Your Word that You'll guide me through this difficulty, this challenge that I'm facing. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, the only way we can face the challenge that we face and come through victorious on the other side is to stand on the promises of God. He'll never fail us nor forsake us. What are you standing on today? If you're here today and you never made your relationship with the Lord what it ought to be, you've never been saved, and what better day than today to accept Christ? He says, believe and be saved. The door stands open to receive you by profession of faith. If you need to come and just kneel and pray, if you need to come and become a member of this church by transfer of letter, the door stands open to receive you. Would you come as we sing, Jesus is Tenderly Calling, page 417. Whatever's on your heart, Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, are we really standing on the promises of God? That is the only thing that's going to see us through the challenges we face in not only paying for this facility, it's more than that. More important than paying for this facility is being a witness and a lighthouse to this community. The people of this community are far more important than this building. And we must never forget that. We need to stand on the promises of God that He will use us to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a promise we need to claim. And when we do that, God will take care of the facility. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That's what we must stand on. Would you come as we stand and sing?
Today, they who believe on His name shall reach.
God is good, folks. Amen. All the time, isn't he? He's good to us, and we need to respond to him in faith. Brother Chris, would you lead us in a closing prayer?